Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Hello, it's Friday the 3rd of August 2018. Welcome to Africa Link, live from our DW studios here in Bonn, Germany. I am Zipporah Nyambura.
And I am Eddie Micah Jr. We're also live on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Don't forget to join us live and don't forget to share.
That's right. Coming up, Democratic Republic of Congo opposition leader Moise Katumbi is barred from entering the country as candidates file their bid for the presidency before the deadline next week.
The mood is tense, even here in Kinshasa, because the government has said over and over this past week that Katumbi will be arrested if he gets back into the country.
Zimbabwean opposition leader Nelson Chamisa vows to challenge the elections in which Emmerson Mnangagwa was declared the winner. But what do Zimbabweans think?
These people, they know that they lost an election, and there's no reason why they should come here armed to the tooth like this for a mere, press conference. This is not fair.
We will also hear why many Germans think racism is one of the biggest problems facing the country.
Yes, indeed. We have that and a lot more lined up for you today. But before that, we hear what's been happening around the world.
I'm Shay Marnicki with DW News. Tensions have been high in Zimbabwe after the country's electoral commission declared that Emmerson Mnangagwa had narrowly won the presidential election. According to the official count, Mnangagwa of the ruling ZANU-PF party won with 50.8% of the vote, while Nelson Chamisa of the opposition Movement for Democratic Change party garnered just 44.3%. Riot police were dispatched to the capital, Harare, as Chamisa denounced the results and declared himself the winner.
And I must say that Mr. Mnangagwa did not win the election in this country. The election in this country was won by the MDC Alliance presidential candidate. And we won that election emphatically. We have our tally, which tally we are ready to give those who want to see the tally.
Mnangagwa said the vote had been free and fair and urged people to refrain from violence. It is the first election since the army removed 94-year-old Robert Mugabe from office in November. In Mali, leading opposition candidate Soumaila Cisse has rejected the results of the first round of voting in a presidential election between him and incumbent Ibrahim Boubacar Keita. Speaking to supporters in capital Bamako, Cisse made the following claims.
These results are results of a fraud, of a shameful stuffing of ballot boxes to favor the outgoing president. They are the results of serious irregularities and deliberate violations of the electoral law. These are manipulated results. We won't accept them. We won't accept them.
According to the results, Keita took home around 41% of the vote compared to Cisse's nearly 18%. A runoff vote has been set for August 12th. The Democratic Republic of Congo has reportedly refused to allow opposition leader Moise Katumbi from entering the country. The prominent businessman and former governor has been living in self-imposed exile in Belgium since May 2016 after a fallout with President Joseph Kabila. The country's public prosecutor's office said Katumbi would be immediately arrested if he returned. This news comes to you from DW, Germany's international broadcaster. In Tunisia, authorities have reportedly arrested two suspects linked to a foiled biological attack in Germany in June. Investigations revealed that one of the men had conspired with 29-year-old Seif Allah H. to carry out two attacks using homemade bombs in Tunisia and Germany. The other man was charged for reportedly preparing a false passport to help Seif flee the country. The International Red Cross has called on people to check on the elderly in Europe and elsewhere as temperatures continue to soar. The organization has also sent out volunteers to offer assistance as several countries, including Spain and Italy, issued warnings about rising temperatures and possible wildfires. And finally, the German Society for Nature Conservation has asked people to count insects this weekend. The country's leading environmental group made a plea after noticing a decline in population numbers. Participants have been asked to upload their count to a free app called Insect World. For more news and information, visit our website at dw.com. I'm Shay Meineke.
This is DW's Africa Link program. I am Zipporah Nyambura.
And I am Eddie Micah Jr. A warm welcome to you listening to this program on our Facebook page, DW Africa. I see David Akono, you say hello, hello back. Obina Uba, you tuned in. And Chima Elodo, you're saying that we should show some video broadcast, but we'll take that into consideration maybe the next
time. For sure. Should think about it now.
Definitely. Well, the Democratic Republic of Congo barred opposition leader Moise Katumbi from entering the country, where he hopes to file a bid to run for the presidential elections later in the year. Candidates must submit their applications by August 8th and physically be in the country to do so.
Now, Katumbi has been living in self-imposed exile in Belgium since May 2016 after falling out with President Joseph Kabila. I talked to Louise Dewast, who has been covering the happenings there in the DRC. And she starts by telling us the mood in that country at the moment.
There are hundreds of supporters, Katumbi supporters, are at the border right now to cheer for him. He was governor of Katanga province for 8 years. So he is very popular there, and that's why he wanted to go there, to start there. And the mood is tense, even here in Kinshasa, because the government has said over and over this past week that Katumbi will be arrested if he gets back into the country, because he's involved in several cases and has pending charges, and also accused of having dual nationality, which is illegal in the DRC. Katumbi denies all these charges.
Despite all these charges and all the accusations of corruption, what support does he have back there?
So Katumbi, and there was a poll recently, just last week actually, where Moise Katumbi came in first, tied with another opposition leader, Felix Tshisekedi. They both polled 19% nationwide. So they are quite popular. And Moise Katumbi's platform called Together for Change, experts tell me that, you know, this platform is very well implemented and has really good connections across the country.
So are you telling me that he is a main threat to Kabila in winning the presidential election compared to Bemba?
And they are all threats, but for sure Katumbi has advantages over a candidate like Jean-Pierre Bemba. Katumbi is from the east, the same region as Kabila. So he will be, you know, he is a rival of Kabila in that part of the country. Jean-Pierre Bemba is very popular in Kinshasa and in his province of Equator. But Katumbi has, it seems from what we're hearing, a wider support base in the country. And as I said, the most important really factor is that Moise Katumbi would most likely join forces with Felix Tshisekedi, the third main opposition leader.
That is Louise Dewast, a journalist who's been covering the happenings in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And you have been telling us a lot regarding that. For example, Niamba says the current leadership in Africa, especially in French Africa, is strange, and the people cannot dare challenge the bad governance.
Well, also Blasius says that Congolese, like most of African citizens, are still in bondage.
Well, that's another one there. And of course, there's someone here who says Africa has not grown and she needs to move to the institutional level.
And finally, Boss Boy Acid says, I feel like it's bad to buy a citizen of the same nation. Africans, we need to improve our political system. So, well, thanks a lot for your comments. Keep them coming. Now, more than half of Germans consider racism a big problem. That's according to a new poll. When asked their opinion on the issue, 64% of people said that racism was indeed a problem. The poll comes weeks after star midfielder Mesut Ozil accused the German Football Association of racism.
And I talked to my colleague Katie Brady, who starts by telling us what this actually means.
Well, I don't think this poll really indicates whether racism has become worse, particularly in Germany. It's more the fact that it's become more prominent. There's more coverage on the issue at the moment. And I think the problem of racism was always there in German society and it's never gone away. I think the most concerning thing actually is how racism is really rearing its head again. And if you look in the past couple of years, you've seen groups such as the anti-Islam and xenophobic movement Pegida, or even the far-right Alternative for Germany party, the AfD. The kind of rhetoric that they've been using, the language, the behaviour, it's got very strong racist undertones, even overtones, if you will. So I think this is really why it seems that racism is coming to the foreground again.
Well, Kate, as we know, racism is a topic that has been on the headlines here in Germany since footballer Mesut Özil quit the national team, accusing the Football Association of racism. What does this figure tell us? Because it seems even the well-integrated migrants continue to face racism.
It's quite interesting, really, to look at how people responded to that. And widely, people who took part in this poll said that migrants who had been in Germany for longer had better integrated and the integration had been more successful for them. But it's interesting, really, because that is the group, really, that Mesut Özil in a way belongs to. And it's important to remember that he himself isn't even a migrant. He was born in Germany, but it was his parents who moved over from Turkey some decades ago. And this is really interesting in Germany, that people still talk about second, third, fourth generation migrants. And you hear a lot about the Turkish community, German Turks, or even just the Turks. And it's very odd in a way that this separation still exists.
That is Katie Brady, our DW correspondent in Berlin. We now move back to Africa and to Zimbabwe, where the opposition leader Nelson Chamisa, who narrowly lost the presidential election to incumbent Emmerson Mnangagwa, now says he will pursue all legal and constitutional routes to challenge the election result.
Now, Chamisa did, however, not specify whether he would submit a legal challenge to the Constitutional Court. Columbus Mavunga has more from Harare.
After days of tension came this long-awaited announcement.
I, Priscilla Makanyara Chigumba, the chairperson of the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, do hereby declare that the votes received by Mnangagwa Emmerson Dambudzo of ZANU-PF party are more than half the number of votes cast in the presidential election. Is therefore duly declared elected president of the Republic of Zimbabwe with effect from the 3rd of August 2018.
Mnangagwa supporters breaking into celebration late in the night. But things were completely opposite in their opponents' camp. Soon after that announcement, Morgan Komich, the opposition's elections chief agent, stormed into the room where results were being announced and said,
"We as MDC Alliance totally reject the results because they have not been verified by the chief agents of the candidates. The results that have been announced have not been verified by us. I didn't sign, so the results are fake."
So the results are fake.
But that is not what the ZANU-PF supporters think. To them, the victory was well-deserved. Tonderai Bosha is the party's youth spokesperson.
Yeah, the opposition say we rigged the election. And I'm saying that has been the narrative, even during the campaigns, before the elections. They've been saying a lot of shit, a lot of things, a lot of issues in regards to this election. What they only wanted was victory on their side.
On the streets, many have mixed opinions.
These people, they know that they lost an election, and there's no reason why they should come here armed to the tooth like this for a mere, press conference. This is not fair.
We're expecting that this election would bring change because we are struggling, but as things stand, it will get worse.
Zimbabwe is not going anywhere with President Emmerson Mnangagwa. We are tired, we are sick and tired of ZANU-PF.
Columbus Mavunga with that report.
And many people are also giving us their feedback, agreeing with those voices we just had. Hope says they've announced fake results.
And also, Nia Kuyaple says, so far none of the observers have reported vote rigging. This is Africa Link. Do stay with us.
You are listening to DW's Africa Link here from Bonn, Germany. I'm Zipporah Nyambura.
And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for tuning in live on our Facebook page, DW Africa.
Coming up in the next 15 minutes.
Ghanaians are worried about police brutalities against citizens.
We are challenging the police chief. You should provide us with records of criminality they've committed against the state. If you want, you are yet to identify their identities. How come you said they are hiding criminals? As you could see, our eyes are red. We are not going to entertain that. We are not going to entertain that.
Stick around, we'll also have much more from the sports desk. But first we head to Nigeria, where President Muhammadu Buhari has begun a 10-day holiday to London amid varied tensions facing his party and the country. In his absence, Vice President Osibanjo will be acting as president as the constitution demands.
Now, Buhari has been facing so many defections recently, with the latest including three governors from his party renouncing their membership to join the opposition. 15 senators as well as 32 members of the House of Representatives have also defected so far. So amidst all that is happening, including the defections and security concerns in the country, is this the right time for a holiday? Now, this is a question I first posed to DW correspondent Ben Shimang.
From the president's side, some people are feeling that, yes, the campaigns are just around the corner. In the next 3 weeks, campaigns will be all over the place. And it is therefore right that the president goes to relax a bit before he gets energy and to go around this federation. But some people are also feeling that, look, Nigeria, there are some troubles here and there. Politically, there are crises. And, of course, we have the security challenges. Boko Haram is there. More so, you also have this most recent one. And clashes between farmers and herders. And we have what is called cattle rustling in the Zamfara state. It's serious. So people are feeling the president ought to have been around. Most of the National Assembly too is on holiday.
This is why, though, many people believe it's not just about holiday. They still think Buhari is probably sick and, as he's done before, is going to the UK for some treatment. What do you make of that?
Well, incidentally, we are just to go by what the presidency statement says. The spokesman for the president, Femi Adesina, says the president is just going on holiday, on break for some 10 days. And he did not mention the issue of going to hospital or his sickness. And of course, well, maybe we just take it that way. The other time he went that way, he took the opportunity to see the doctor. Whether he's going to also see his doctor this time around, it's not been stated. And so that is it. We'll just leave it at that. And again, in terms of the sickness, we don't know, and we are told it's strictly the president's matters.
Some divide talking about how unfit he is to be president in the midst of all these attacks still going on and him seemingly not doing enough to tackle it, also not really attending to these defections happening on in his own party. What exactly do you feel? Is it a fair question to ask if Buhari is fit to be president?
I think, let me be frank to you, before now, when the president was away for a very long time, he was surely sick. But and at that time, the president could hardly stay to present a speech in public. But as we are talking today, this president has been jumping from one state to another. He's in the vehicle, he's in helicopters. He's in fact, just 3 weeks ago, he was in Mongunu, where you have the Boko Haram dealing with many Nigerians there. From there, he went to Lome Togo, attended ECOWAS summit just before leaving for London. He had to go to Bauchi to flag a campaign for a senator and other. That stuff. So he is showing Nigerians that yes, he has bounced back to life, unlike those days. So that is left to be seen.
That was DW's Ben Shimang with that report.
And now we head to Ghana, which is largely celebrated in Africa for its stable democracy and relative peace. In this success story, security agencies like the police have played a role in maintaining public order. But it appears the public is gradually losing confidence in the police.
Now, our correspondent in Accra, Isaac Kaleji, reports that recent killings of civilians by the police and many instances of brutalities against citizens are destroying the relationship between the police and those they are supposed to protect. Now, here's his report.
Angry residents in Asawasi, a local community in Ghana's Ashanti region, they are agitating over a recent killing of some residents by the police. Police officers shot and killed seven of them, who they claim were armed robbers. The residents rejected that, alleging that the police are deliberately killing citizens. Osman Seydou is one of the community leaders.
It's a record that the policeman, the police chief, said that they are highly criminals. We are challenging the police chief. You should provide us with records of criminality they've committed against the state. If you want, you are yet to identify their identities. How come you said they are hiding criminals? As you could see, our eyes are red. We are not going to entertain that. We are not going to entertain that.
The residents have called for an independent investigation into the incident, which has attracted public outrage. This is not the first time police officers have been accused of wrongful killings or brutalities. A few weeks ago, there was outrage when a police officer was caught on video brutalizing a nursing mother and her toddler. The chief spokesperson for the police command in Ghana, ACP David Eklu, says the police is aware of these recent instances of police brutalities, but says they are just isolated cases.
Yes, we have taken note of public concerns about a few cases where the police's posture suggests some high-handedness in handling certain incidents. But by and large, you would realize that these are but a few cases. Our policy on use of force are grounded in law, and it is clear at all stage an officer can use excessive force.
Those instances a clue speaks of include when officers are in danger while combating crime. A human rights lawyer, Francis Sosu, says the police are sometimes lawless but should rather enforce the law to protect lives and property.
I think the police brutality is a very worrying situation and a very worrying trend. And the reason why it is increasing is because of failure of our government to act in those respects. And the police administration itself has not been able to hold itself accountable.
The relationship between the police and civilians appears to be deteriorating rapidly. Lawyer Sosu believes a comprehensive review of police operations, especially training and recruitment, is needed to restore confidence in them.
The overall picture that we get out of these violations is that some of these officers are either untrained or not properly trained, or perhaps were not recruited through the right processes.
But David Eklu, the police spokesman, says the police is committed to reducing these excesses in the line of duty and want to protect lives and not kill innocent people.
The fundamental role of the police is to protect life and property and to prevent crime. So we try as much as possible to minimize these losses of life, but we do it under extreme conditions where it becomes unavoidable. Let us not be quick to judge the police that the police are becoming trigger happy. It is incorrect.
DW's Isaac Kaleji with that report.
And of course, many people have been talking about it. And Eddie, it's not only in Ghana or tell me the situation. Is it that dire that the police are doing this?
Yes, I'm trying not to be talking as a patriotic citizen of Ghana. But yes, there's been some instances, some pockets of violence caused by the police. And of course, that is a cause for concern, if I can say. So it is right that journalists are actually pointing out the fact that some police are abusing the power that they have. And so this is right to point out. But it's not a general problem, I would say. But whether general or not, it is not good at all to hear that one or two or how many number of people have lost their lives due to police brutality.
And our listeners actually say it's a problem everywhere. For example, there's someone from Nigeria who says, Isaac Godwin, who says, even the last 2 weeks, CCTV footage that caught one Ghanaian officer mercilessly beating one woman was distasteful. And he says, I thought they were better than our Nigerian police.
Yeah, and that incident actually in Ghana really got a lot of social media attention. A lot of people condemned the act, and rightfully so. And even the police authorities came out to apologize on behalf of that police officer. And they sorted out different measures to appease the woman that was assaulted. So Romeo Ejay is also adding his voice, saying, it's not true. Your reporter might be living in Germany and reading the internet. Even in the USA, the police brutalities are going on. But I mean, this is something, if I can say, ZP or Zipora, I should say, that we should not say it's happening somewhere else. So we should be content with it happening where we are.
Yeah. So thank you very much for your feedback. You can also contribute and give us your feedback on our DW page. DW Africa. And now we go to sports, which everyone is looking forward to. Transportation problems at the 2018 African Senior Athletics Championships left several hundred athletes stranded at Lagos Airport, some for nearly 3 days. This forced a major revision of the competition timetable on Wednesday.
Now, although officials apologized for their shortcomings, Tanzania had to pull out of the competition, citing organization concerns. DW Sports correspondent Samson O'Malley reports from Abuja.
The 2018 African Senior Athletics Championships Asaba, Nigeria enters day three today, but it has been overshadowed by poor organization by the host country, Nigeria. Tanzania was expected to send 5 athletes to the championships in Asaba, but pulled out because they were dissatisfied with the travel arrangements to the event, as well as a threat from extremist groups in the region. Hamed Kalkaba Malboum is the African Athletics president.
47 federations came here, so they know exactly what could be the environment for the athletes. It is just to explain to the athletes that as a young lady or young athletes, sometimes you can face the reality of our continent. We are a developing continent. Everything could not be perfect. Even each person here cannot say at home everything is in very best condition.
To avoid a repeat of the incident where athletes were stranded on arrival and had to sleep at the Murtala Mohammed International Airport, the local organizing chairman, Solomon Ogba, has asked all the participating teams to make their departure plans known to the LOC early enough.
Learning from what has happened in the arrival, we have given all the countries a deadline to submit their departure by today so that arrangement will be concluded in all the athletes and officials going back smoothly and connecting their flights. I do not envisage any problem in their returning, except if they don't give us their departure information.
Some athletes have also complained about the state of the track at the Stephen Keshi Stadium, describing it as bumpy, which has affected their performances in the races. Meanwhile, South Africa's Commonwealth Games champion Akanisi Mbeni won the men's 100 meters, with Marie-Jose Talu of Ivory Coast the women's winner at the African Championships on Thursday. Kenya World and Commonwealth Games champion Helen Obiri also claimed African gold, winning the women's 5,000 meters. The Egyptian Football Association announced on Thursday the appointment of Mexican Javier Aguirre as head coach of the national team on a 4-year deal. Aguirre replaces Argentine Hector Cooper after his contract expired following the 2018 World Cup, where Egypt lost all 3 of their matches to crash out in the group stage. Here's the newly appointed coach on his focus for the team.
Our first target is the Africa Cup, so we have to play well as soon as possible. Yeah, of course, it's short time, but the players after the World Cup need some rest. After that, they have to go with his own clubs. So at the end of the story, we just can't train when FIFA allow us to do that.
Our very own Samson O'Malley with that report. But also, Kenyan journalists and athletes faced this stranding situation, wasn't it?
Yeah, actually, there were pictures on social media of athletes, journalists who were also stranded, and they said the games were disorganized. So it seems to be a general problem this time.
Well, it has affected some athletes, but some are also going on. Some are winning competitions here and there. So at the end of the day, we'll be giving all those updates how things panned out. But also back to our Facebook page, DW Africa. We earlier spoke about the racism situation in Germany. And Alaji Jobe says, I live in Germany, but the problem of racism truly exists here and growing day by day. It's fake to say it's dying. The behavior and languages of many here, especially on Africans and immigrants, is a great example. So thank you very much, Alaji Jobe, for tuning in live with us and for sharing this comment with us.
Yeah, and that is exactly what Katie Brady, our correspondent in Berlin, was talking about. Like, it's not like racism has increased, it's just being more exposed because of the social media.
Exactly.
So, of course, you listener can also tell us, are you living in Germany? What has been your experience? You can also go to our Facebook page, DW Africa, and drop us a comment.
Definitely do that. Well, that's all time will permit us today on Africa Link. I am Eddie Micah Jr.
And I'm Zipporah Nyambura. Bye for now.